Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
We've been talking about freedom this month. You know, nothing can block you more than relationships. And that's what we're going to finish with today. We're going to talk about being unlocked and unblocked, discovering true freedom in relationships. So we're going to get right into the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible word of the living God. I call today's message, Ships of Freedom. Ships of Freedom. I'll tell you about it more in a minute. We're starting with the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So Jonah went there, and no, that's not what it says. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Never advisable. Jonah rose to flee from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. My friends, it's a big ticket price to pay for running from God. And that's what Jonah finds out. Most of you know the story from Sunday school if you're raised in church at all. I want to weave in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. "This charge I commit to your son Timothy, according to the prophecies made concerning you, that by them you wage the good warfare." You use these words to fight in the spirit, use these promises to fight. "Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concern the faith have suffered shipwreck." Shipwreck is frequently talked about in the Bible. You got to fight for your promises. Let's pray right now. Let's pray the word right now. Father, we just thank you that your word says that when we come into your presence, we are changed by that presence. Lord, we come in awe of you today, and we ask you, let the word of the Lord come in power. Set captives free. Bring healing from disappointments, healing from broken hearts. And Lord, restore your people today in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about a friendly reminder of the importance of covenant connection to Christ through the local church. And, we believe here where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Or one translation says, where the Holy Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. And that's what we believe. Speaking of Pastor Chad Braswell, I'm going to do something I never do this. I hardly ever do this. This is very, very unusual. But today, so this past week, my wife and I, we got to go and take a little break for our 45th wedding anniversary. We went for a couple of days to Washington, D.C., and had a great time there. We love to go pray there and hang out and do fun stuff as well. So we went 2 days to D.C. Then we took a train from D.C. up to New York City, and we did 2 nights in New York City, and we were very blessed and had a great time. So because of that, I started preparing. I heard a message when Pastor Chad was with me last month preaching in London, and it was so good. I said, I got that message. I'm going to steal it. You know, listen, there are copyright laws, and that means you have a right to copy. Anyway, it's my own interpretation. I didn't copy it word for word. I got inspired by a message that was similar to this. And so I'm just going to give it to you as best I could. We've all heard the saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, that's really appropriate, not only in this life, but also in the next. If you don't know Jesus, then you're not going to be spending eternity in the right place. And heaven and hell are very real places. So don't let the lack of hellfire and brimstone preaching in this generation fool you into a false sense of security, because hell is real and heaven is real, and the only people going there are people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that comes through relationship, not religious rule-keeping. Let's talk today about the most important ships in your life. Your relationships, friendships, and partnerships. I'm willing to say that most of the times, that I went off track as a younger person were when I was hanging out with the wrong people. Now, I know that probably never happened to you. But in my past, the wrong friends had a big influence in the direction of my life. And so we've got to really guard these three things: relationships, friendships, partnerships. Guard these ships. My subtitle, when I heard Pastor Chad preach this, he had a title. I don't even know what his title was. But I know my title is, Get Your Ship Together. Now make sure your kids know that Pastor didn't just swear. Listen, the answer to every relationship question you've ever had is in the Word of God. Three people said amen. I'll say it again. The answer to every relationship question you've ever had is already in the Bible. And if you're in a mess, you just haven't found it. And so we hang on to those promises. The Word covers everything. One of the hardest things to deal with in the body of Christ is helping people clean up the damage after shipwrecking their lives. You've heard of relationships on the rocks? Well, that's why we're talking about, we're comparing it to the steering of a ship, the steering of a boat. Understand, for some reason, when folks sense they're veering off course or completely going the wrong direction, a lot of times they just keep floating along until they hit the rocks. But the Word of God gives us warning, gives us pause, gives us recovery plans and strategies. And so I want to give you seven thoughts today about the ships of your life, these three important ships. Number one, make sure you know where the ship is going before you get on board. I travel a lot, and many times as I've been, you know, they used to say that on the way to heaven, you have to stop in Atlanta. Because so many times, I'm a Delta Airlines frequent flyer. I've got almost 1.5 million miles just with Delta in the last 40 years. And many times that when I get to the Atlanta airport, you'll get off the plane where you're coming, and sometimes you're in a real hurry, and sometimes you got a little time. And so you get there, and now they're trying to make it like a shopping mall in Atlanta, in the airport with good restaurants and such. But sometimes they'll say, "Okay, you're going out of B18, so you go from, you know, F or E, and you get on the train and you get there." How many have never been to Atlanta Airport? Oh my word! Well, God bless you. I've been through Atlanta Airport. I bet I've been through Atlanta Airport 150 times in my life. Dude, that's just truth. Anyway. Many times, several times this has happened to me, when I got off the plane, there was a person there in a red jacket that said, "Hey, you're going to B18. Okay, so run, get to B18. And you sit down, I'm here, and you sit down. And then you look up at the board, and it's not Orlando, or it's not where you're going. And they say, "Oh, there," and then you look, and they change the gate on you. I say it this way, don't do a Home Alone 2. Where your family goes to Miami and Kevin goes alone to New York. Don't do that. You got to know. Let me say it this way. Start with the end in mind. Make sure you know where the ship is going before you get on board. Start with the end in mind. Double check your destination. If you get on the wrong relationship, you are headed toward a destination that you know not of. And that's why you've got to have discernment of the Holy Spirit. You've got to have relationship help with God leading you. And then you've got to obey the unction when you recognize something's off. Jonah, God said, "I want you to go preach in Nineveh." And Jonah hated Nineveh. He hated Nineveh so bad that even though he describes himself later in the book of Jonah as a God-fearing man, he went and got on a boat to go the opposite direction, he went to Joppa to go to Tarshish to get away from Nineveh. But the Bible says he did it to get away from the presence of the Lord. You know, you can run, but you can't hide. Have you ever tried to walk away from God or kind of walk it back? Anybody ever do that? How many notice he doesn't leave you alone? You start bumping into stuff, and a lot of times you bump into believers, and they start encouraging you back. Listen. Proverbs 29:18 says this in the message. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what God reveals, they're most blessed. Listen, make sure that your goal is always the will of God. Make sure that your goal is, God, I want to be where you want me to be. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to end up where you want me to end up. Help me to find those right ships that get me to the right spot. And give me the discernment and the courage to walk away from those relationships that aren't getting me there. Now, let me just say this. When I talk about relationships, I'm not talking about marriage, okay? This is not a get-out-of-marriage-free certificate today, okay? That's not what we're doing here. We believe in covenant marriage. What God has joined together, let no man tear asunder. So what happens is some people like to tear asunder. And I want to say this to you. When we're talking about friendships, you've gone beyond friendship. You've made vows. Okay? So marriage is not an easy thing. I'm just telling you, if you got on the wrong destination, the Bible says, if the unbelieving depart, let them depart, but you don't depart. And if the unbelieving departed, you got to move on. But you have to understand that God's best is for you to work through that. Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision from God, the people perish. I would say it this way. The Bible says vision carries some restraint. When you have a vision for where you're going, you have to be willing. Like an athlete has to make sacrifices to go to the Olympics or to go to the pros that you and I don't have to do and our kids don't have to do just playing Little League baseball. You don't have to make the same sacrifices as a big league ball player. There are sacrifices involved with vision. So start with the end in mind and carry some restraint of the vision that you have to get where you're supposed to go. Can you say amen? Amen. Number two, be careful who you allow on your ship. Forming alliances or partnerships will make or break your life. Just understand this. If you are hanging with friends and they say, we're going to go for a ride and so-and-so is going to drive tonight and we're going to go for a ride in the car and we're going to have some fun. And you're in the back seat and they drive up to rob a bank or a grocery store. Even if you didn't get out of the car, even if you didn't have a gun, you are involved as an accessory because you are guilty by what? Association. Association. Be careful who you allow on your ship or whose ship you get on. 1 Corinthians 15:33 from the Amplified says, do not be deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and character. That is as clear as it can be. And let me just say this to you that are single. Please don't get caught up in the, I can change him. I can change her trap. That's a trap. Now, I will tell you, if you're not married yet and you're going to get married, they are going to change. But they're on their best behavior now. I know we got some weddings coming up in the next few weeks, so I'm not talking to you unless God has. But let me know that's a trap. I can change. See, some women, men too, but they look for projects. They feel the need to be needed to help someone to reform or change. But then they say, well, I always go for the bad boy. Well, if you go for the bad boy, you're going to wind up in a bad place. with only very few exceptions. My wife, for example. Her father tried to warn her. Said that Richard Parenchy, boy, he's not good enough for you. You can do better. Later on, he recanted. So, 2 Corinthians 6:14 from the Amplified says this, don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership, that's war. Is light best friends with dark? Isn't that interesting? You know, most of you know that as don't be unequally yoked together. And that has nothing to do with eggs. Understand, come on, you're slow on the uptick today. I've been away all week. I have not been able to say any jokes in front of my wife. If you believe that, that's not true. The kind thing, see, a lot of you go, well, I want to be nice. Well, you can be nice all your way to hell. You can be so nice that you let people get away with stuff and you think you're being compassionate. But there are lines that people cross. And I forget who it was. I think Oprah or T.D. Jakes or somebody said, you know, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. It's not in the Bible, but it should be because it's in there. The principle of it. When someone shows you who they are, just don't go, when they come back and cry, oh, I'll change. If somebody hits you, let me just say, we are against divorce here. God hates divorce, but he also hates abuse. If you get to the place where there's physical abuse, believe them. Because a lot of times people that are physically abusive, unless they get saved and get help and get healed. But the proof is in the fruit, isn't it? In our text today in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah ran away from the presence of the Lord and headed to Tarshish. This was blatant rebellion from God's calling and purpose. And suddenly a storm hit the whole boat. Even professional sailors got scared. But Jonah went and took a nap. Naps in Scripture are often symptomatic of spiritual slumber, prayerlessness, and apathy, and in modern times, depression. If you sleep all the time, or somebody sleeps all the time, they're running from something. When they found Jonah, he admitted he was the problem, but he didn't repent. He said, yep, this storm is happening because of me. And they said, you should repent before your God. He said, no, just throw me overboard. How dark is this guy? I'll walk the plank there, matey. Jonah chapter 1, verse 12. He said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. One for the money, two for the show. And then the credits start running with the song by Adele, Rolling in the Deep. Proverbs 13:20 from the Message Bible says, become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. Another proverb says, make no friendship with an angry man. Make no ship, no friendship with an angry man, lest you also learn his ways and be like him. You hang around, if you're a happy person, you hang out with angry people, you're going to get angry. And you got to guard your heart from that stuff. Understand, there are moments. Be careful who you allow on your ship or whose ship you get on. Say amen. Amen. I got to hurry. Number three, let's talk about pirates for a few minutes. I'm going to give you a few things about pirates, okay? Because you can't talk about ships without talking about pirates. Number three, beware of pirates. Pirates, piracy happens in the open waters. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, unfruitful, unloving, ungiving, un-everything. And go on, and it says at the end of that, avoid such people. Learn to recognize them. Number four, pirates fly black sails. That's how you can learn to recognize them. They fly black sails. What does black sails have to do with it? Secret hidden junk below the surface in darkness. They fly. Listen, anybody can act. Is anybody old enough to remember the show Leave It to Beaver besides me? Leave It to Beaver. A few of you. Okay. There was a character in there called Eddie Haskell. Eddie Haskell would appear to the parents and say, "Hi, how you doing, Mrs. Cleaver? You look really nice today. Hi, Mr. Cleaver. Golly gee, everybody's great. You're great." And then he'd walk upstairs and start punching the kids and say, you know, "Hey, how you doing, squirt?" And he'd punch little Beeve in the arm and hurt him. You know, there are people that have this facade. I just say, I have a very low tolerance for Eddie Haskells. Because I've met them over the time. A lot of people want to pretend one thing, but all you have to do is see them when nobody's looking. See them when nobody's looking. See, look, God knows hearts. If you're in a submarine, you got to push the periscope up sometimes. Jesus said you got to look around at the fruit of someone's life. Be a fruit inspector, not a judge. A judge is someone who judges the motivation of someone's heart. No, you don't know my heart, and I don't know yours. We don't know the why of each other, and that's judgment. But Jesus said you need to discern fruit. You need to watch the fruit that is produced in someone's life. And when you see that fruit, believe that fruit, trust that fruit. But by their fruits, Jesus said, you will know them. By their fruits, not what they say, not how they look, not how they act when everybody's good. But under pressure, what comes to the surface? You better know your kids' friends, because Eddie Haskell still exists in the systems, school systems of today. Respect is given, but trust is earned. Before you give someone the benefit of the doubt, please remember, doubt actually has no benefit. Doubt has no benefit. That's the bottom line of that. She said, "Well, I gave them the benefit of the doubt." So you gave them an extra plus when there wasn't one. You gave them a bonus point. My friend says 2 + 2 = 4, not 5. 2 + 2 = 4, not 3. You can't add or subtract because you want to. If it's 2 + 2, it is 4. Trust it. Know it. Believe it. Don't question it. God will show you. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have radar anyway. You have an intrinsic way to know and understand that God will get you out of certain situations. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will actually be behind you sometimes, telling you, go to the left or go to the right. Get on that plane, but don't get on that plane. How many people do we hear of the stories from 9/11 back, you know, 24 years ago, that missed the plane that day because they were late to the airport, and they probably were upset the whole way. And then they were relieved and they were blessed when they said, "Oh, I always trust God. I don't like delays either, but I trust God in delay." Whether on the road or at the airport or in the air, I trust God, even the delay. The Bible says, Luke chapter 2, 12, verse 2, "For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known." There's stuff that people are covering all the time, but God knows where it is, what it is. Are you watching? Are you listening? Proverbs 28:13 says this, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." More about pirates. Number five, I've got wrong numbers. I've got two number fives, but anyway, I'm going to keep going. Number five, pirates disrespect order and ranks. You can recognize pirates because they don't like authority. The Bible says, it speaks in the New Testament, Paul writes a lot about people who speak evil of dignitaries. Anybody in the military? How many of you were in the military in your past? You know, the military, they seem to have rank and order. In those ranks, they have a chain of command, okay? And it doesn't mean somebody's better than you, but they hold a different rank than you. It's the same in the realm of the kingdom. There are people that have a different rank than I do. Different, you know, there are generals of the faith. And that's okay. That's all right. But understand that if I resist or I'm a person who's rebellious, that kicks against even what God says the intended order is. You don't break chain of command. Romans 13:2 says this, therefore whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. I love in the Old Testament, David's mighty men were known as those who could keep ranks. They showed up to ratify his kingdom when he joined, when he was a kingdom, king of Judah, and then became king of Judah and Israel in a united kingdom. When he did that, the Bible says his mighty men showed up, the ones who could keep ranks, the ones who understood, okay, this is how the order is, and we need to make sure that we honor David as the king. And so there's a place where we have to understand that there is rank and order in the kingdom, and pirates, people, the enemies of the kingdom are going to be those that are always pushing against the order and trying to say, well, why this and why that? And try to undermine it. My second number five, apparently, is pirates want to commandeer your ship. Pirates, they want to, let me say it this way, control through guilt and manipulation. We always define spiritual witchcraft as controlling the will of another through intimidation or manipulation for the purpose of domination. If you've ever been under someone else's spell or control, someone who intimidates you or manipulates you, you have been under like what the Bible calls witchcraft. Okay, it's not someone, you know, a witch is not someone with a green face and a wart on her nose and a pointy black hat and, you know, I have newt and, you know, and doing all these things. Witchcraft is trying to control somebody else's will, trying to control somebody else's mind. Now we all have influence, but we use that influence for good and for God. But beware of the pirates who try to take over your ship. Romans 16:17 says we're supposed to watch out for those who cause division, who serve only their own appetites. There are toxic ships. There are some relationships that have this whole, I'll reject you before you can reject me situation. Self-sabotage. Some people, that's where you get some people who they can only get to a certain level of a relationship and then they want to run. They want to bail. Why? Because whatever's going on in them doesn't let them commit beyond a certain point because they'll get hurt or they're afraid they'll get hurt. I got news for you. If you're going to love somebody with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, in this life, you're going to be disappointed sometimes. In fact, you're going to get your feelings hurt sometimes. But just don't allow that ship to become so toxic that you just go full on into it and allow yourself to become used and abused. You have power to break that spirit. You have power to break that and take authority over that control, not just yelling at the person. Privately, you can pray in the name of Jesus and take your authority in Jesus' name. Keep that relationship from hitting the rocks. Finally, number six. There's a place in the book of Jonah where it says in Jonah 1, verse 4 and 5, that instead of throwing Jonah overboard, at first it says they threw cargo overboard to lighten the load. Number six is lighten the load. Lighten your load. Lighten your load. Take inventory of your ship's cargo. Too much weight at the airport will cost you extra. Too much weight on the ship will cost you. Jonah had to pay the full fare to run from God. God will pay for everything he orders, but he's not paying for your rebellion. Okay? He'll help you out of it when you repent, but he's not going to fund your rebellion. He will fund everything he wants, everything of his will. He would have funded every part of Jonah's trip to Nineveh, and Jonah would have been blessed to preach in Nineveh. In fact, eventually was. But he ran from the presence of God. He ran from what God wanted. So there are sometimes you have to lighten your load. Listen, every ship has a capacity to hold cargo. But you got to let go of the excess stuff. Even within relationships, even within friendships, or even within marriage, there has to be a time where we say, what are we carrying that is demanding more time than we have to give it? What are we, so, I mean, you get an argument sometimes. Can I give you just a little, just a small tip of wisdom here? When you're going through something, if you're in an argument with your spouse, if you can get past the anger stage for a moment and say, look, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is this issue to you? Because if it's an 8 to my wife and it's only a 3 to me, but we're arguing, okay, if that's an 8 to you, you win. I give in because it's not a big deal to me. But a lot of times we argue over stupid things. I don't mean we. Never. No, but you know how it is. You can say one thing the wrong way, and then you ask your spouse, are you okay? Yep. What's wrong? Nothing. Right? And you know there's something wrong. That they lie. Nothing. I'm good. Why did the car just suddenly freeze internally? But if you can get to that place where you say, look, I know we're arguing over the fact that I didn't turn the windshield wiper on fast enough, but is this how we're gonna, you know, we're gonna die on this hill? Is this a big deal to you? Because it's not big to me. I'll keep the windshield wipers on all day. If that's a big deal to you. But we got to get, see what I'm saying? We got to get past those things. So sometimes if you quantify it, okay, how is this? Because if we can agree to disagree, then we can find something. Because we argue over stupid things. Not we. Finally, number 7 and last. Exactly number 8, but anyway, for those of you keeping score, I've talked about the pirates too long. Number 7, only save the ships that are worth saving. I know some of you like to call the police because you're sending out an SOS. Nothing? Okay. I'm back. Storms force refining priorities. When you find the ships that are worth saving, save them. Invest in them. That's where you want to put your time. Don't put your time into chasing people. Don't put your time into one-sided relationships. You know what a one-sided relationship is? You're always the one to call. You're always the one to text. You're always the one to check in. If it's that unimportant, then just check in at Christmas like other people do. But if you're chasing somebody all the time, wanting them to be at a level 5 friendship and they're only to you, they consider you a 2 and you're a 5 and you're trying to, and you're doing all the investment, just sail on. Just get moved. Just keep moving. Just don't invest where there's not fruit. Because otherwise you're going to feel like you're carrying a ship. You're going to feel like you're carrying it up a hill or trying to pull something that doesn't want to be pulled. Young people, please hear this message today. If your teenagers aren't here today, please get them to watch this message. Because it could have saved people a lot of time and trouble if you just get some of these principles in here and understand God loves you. He wants to protect you, but he gives you discernment so that you'll use it with great wisdom. Amen? Amen. Discovering true freedom means it's time to get your ships together. Relationships, friendships, and partnerships. Let's pray. Father, we give you glory and we give you honor. Thank you for your word. We trust in you with all of our hearts, God. Lord, I pray for every relationship here. I pray healing for the covenant relationships, healing for marriages, blessing on those young couples about to be married in the next few weeks. Lord, pour out your spirit. Pour out your love. And help us to not ignore the warning signs. Lord, help us to have discernment to know how to move forward. And Father, I pray for healing right now for everyone whose heart has ever been broken. Everyone who didn't know these principles and got tied into something that pulled them into pain, that pulled them into control or manipulation, that pulled them into suffering. Thank you, Father, that you are a healer. Your word says that you heal the brokenhearted, that you bind up their wounds. And I pray healing for everyone whose heart has ever been dashed and broken. I pray for those who've been through the pain or the sting of divorce. I pray that you'd restore their hearts, oh God, and help them to trust you now and to trust in future relationships at the right way and the right level and the right timing. Lord, bring wholeness, bring healing. In Jesus' name. Just with your heads bowed just for a moment, maybe those of you at home as well, just have a moment. Is there an area of your life that you're still so guarded because of the pain that you won't even let God in? Ask him today, Lord, come into that area. Come into those hidden parts of my heart and help me to find healing and wholeness to where I can actually move in healthy relationships. Move me to wholeness again through the presence of Jesus. I encourage you to invite Jesus in to those areas. In fact, just everybody just say this with me. Just say, Jesus, I need you right now. You know me better than I know myself. And I ask you to reach inside me, touch my heart, heal every area that's been hurt, that's been in pain, and help me to trust you. Come into my life in a brand new way and fill me up in Jesus' name. Amen. He's working today in this room, isn't he? What a blessing. I love when God just kind of, that just presence just settles in. Trust him today. If you did pray that, please just text us, decide now, all one word. It can be all caps. It can be all lowercase to 94000, just so we can send you a little video on how to walk with God, how to get that walk started. Sometimes people pray, but then they just go out and they don't know what to start doing or living or how to keep taking the steps. We want to help you with that. So text us, decide now at 94000.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you.